Welcome to Generation Now, Our Moment, 2020 election special. I'm your host and resident millennial, Troy McDonald. We are less than 2 weeks away from the presidential election, and according to Pew Research Center, millennials and Gen Z will make up 37% of the electorate. That's the largest voting bloc this year. Yet, no one in this town has even talked to one young person about their thoughts on this election on the air. And so I wanted to change that. And that's changes right here and right now. Today, you'll hear from first-time voters in Gen Z who were born after 1997 as they discuss what matters to them and their views on the future of America. I am joined by Sam Reeves, who is a sophomore at North Park University, and John Bush, who is a freshman at Carthage College. Thank you both for being here. Let's get into the first question here. And Sam, I'm going to start with you. What do you think people get wrong about your generation and the conversations you guys are having about politics? First of all, I guess, what are those conversations like with your peers? And then what are people getting wrong from the outside?
Yeah, so one thing that like I have noticed throughout a lot of political discussions, you know, like as Gen Z comes to the age where we're starting to be able to vote, is that when we try to engage in political conversations, especially with people from older generations, such as Gen X and the baby boomer generation, is that we're often perceived as too naive to understand political commentary and have a serious grasp on political issues in this world. And we're often depicted in media as of just acting on like emotional bias rather than actually like looking into political information and looking into candidates and being able to form our own opinions and values.
First of all, I'd love to commend Samantha for her interpretation of this generation and some of the disparity between what older generations perceive this generation capable of and what the truth may be. I certainly have had some very insightful and meaningful conversations with my peers, as well as professors at an academia level, about a plethora of issues in politics, certainly within the last couple of months, as we have watched events unfold, such as coronavirus and the civil unrest that is happening within our streets, locally in Kenosha and across the country, to other issues such as the disparity in education when it comes to class and race, to racial issues. So I certainly think there is a reality that our generation can hold meaningful conversations as long as they're interested and as long as they're willing to have those conversations.
Great points. How are campaigns reaching you? Because that's another thing that they say, and they still say that about millennials in my age as well. How are they reaching you? Is that through social media, online? Are you watching television? Which I kind of doubt, because I don't watch television. So how are these campaigns reaching you? How are you getting these messages? Sam, I'll go to you.
Okay, yeah. So for me, I've noticed a big trend with this election year is a lot of the campaigns are taking a huge step towards online presence, especially when trying to reach younger voters. I think they've picked up the fact that we are less likely to tune into like cable television and stuff like that. So we're not seeing those television commercials, but rather we have a huge online presence. And with social media being such a large aspect of our daily lives, we're more likely to spread messages there. One example that I found unique in this election year is Biden's campaign actually made a Animal Crossing island. Animal Crossing is a video game that's been pretty popular this year among Gen Z and millennials. And they made an island on the game so that people who want to vote for Biden can visit his island and like take pictures with his character and everything, which I found a very clever way to kind of reach out to the younger audiences and try and get their attention. I've also seen a lot of like videos of like Biden, Kamala, Trump on TikTok, as that's been a huge social media app for the last 2 years. So mainly just focusing on social media platforms and how to kind of incorporate this generation's humor and interests into their campaigns to gain traction.
And John, I'll go to you. Do you think that's working? Is that effective? Are those methods effective?
Well, certainly. I think we saw it for the 2016 election of President Donald Trump. We saw him kind of change the whole entire platform of the game of presidential politics. You know, his usage of Twitter going directly to the people certainly impacted the outcome of that election. And I think it certainly was seen in the disparity between the polling and what we saw on election day. So I think we're seeing that come to fruition now in 2020, where both candidates are fully using in an advantageous way the power of social media and going directly to the individual voter. Yes, I totally would agree. I also still would say some of our generation does turn on the TV and listen and tune in to anything from a rally to a debate to a town hall. As I'm sure Samantha knows, there's our final presidential debate tonight. And I'm sure there will be tons of students tuning in to watch and to take note of this historic moment.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be watching that tonight. And this show is going to air Saturday. So by the time you're hearing this, folks, you will know what happened. We don't know. Maybe we're better off because we don't know what's going to happen. but I will be streaming that. I will not be watching that on cable, but I will be streaming it probably on YouTube of course on YouTube. So I want to transition, and I'll start again with Sam, about the tragedy that unfolded here in Kenosha this summer in the wake of the shooting of Jacob Blake, where he was shot 7 times in the back. Did that affect your vote or the conversations you were having with people your age this year, and your thoughts on kind of how that kind of changed or could have changed the race?
Yeah, so I am a media studies major at my university. So the shooting of Jacob Blake was something that we talked about a lot because it had to deal with like representation of Black Americans in the media. And I found that just the whole ordeal and like situation that happened definitely affected my views of like people and politicians. We had to, you know, witness a tragedy that was awful, and just kind of like gauging how the two main candidates reacted, like Biden and Trump, just kind of, you could see that there was a difference in how they responded to the situation, and not only just the candidates themselves, but their supporters. With the wake of, like, in the wake of the shooting, there was a lot of confidence that conservatives in Kenosha seemed to gain, especially with the riots that happened afterwards and the whole Kyle Rittenhouse situation. It definitely changed my views on people in my hometown of Kenosha, and it caused a lot of fire between me and other people, you know, talking about such a tense topic and, you know, like, was it justified? Was it not? And just like people trying to defend the decision of the police officer and then try and bring up like criminal records and stuff. I definitely will say that it really affected me. And then just watching the whole riots happening. I was already back at school when all of this was going on because I was an early arrival student. So it was very difficult because I had to watch all of this happen through social media, through live streams, through videos. And it's just crazy to see because you never think something like that will happen in your hometown. But once it does, it just gives you a little bit more of an understanding. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah, that completely makes sense. I mean, I will say this, as a Black person and a younger Black person, I was not surprised that that had happened. I thought it was almost a matter of time. And there have been other Black people in the city who've said that. But I will say it is definitely surprising. You don't think it could happen. You know, the fertile ground is there for it to happen. But and you don't want it to happen. But, you know, of course it did. John, I want to toss this to you about your thoughts on what happened in the wake of Jacob Blake, the conversations you've had with your peers, and how that may have changed your thoughts on the two candidates, Joe Biden and President Donald Trump.
Well, first of all, I think this incident shook our community to the core. I was not around during the 80s when manufacturing left us in Kenosha, but I have the same feeling that they must have had back in the 80s. It completely shook our understanding of what Kenosha was as a community and who we were to be in the future. As you know, and I will now inform everyone else, I was on the field during some of those protests that unfolded, and I could see the pain. I could see the pain in the eyes of those that went to protest. I could see that they felt that justice had not been served, that generations of systemic racism had been endured, and that they wanted answers. They wanted their voice to be heard. I think we saw the enmity between individuals in our community rise to a level we haven't seen in decades. And quite frankly, I think the necessity for this discussion was needed well before this incident occurred. One of the conversations I had with another individual in the community was about our demographics, and understanding that our demographics in Kenosha have changed over the course of the last 40 years drastically. However, those that hold the power to make change within our community don't reflect those demographics. So certainly, you know, this has made me reevaluate where our leaders stand on the issue of race. Do they care about the issue of race? Do they want to see change that is meaningful and long-lasting, that's going to impact the parts of our community that aren't doing so well? I think if we look down to the politics of Kenosha, we have an emphasis on the downtown area. Well, what about uptown? What about uptown, the heart of a different part of our community? We haven't spent much time focusing on the businesses there and inviting them to the table to discuss what kind of Kenosha they want to live in. It certainly is a very tense situation for anyone that's involved in the political side or the business side of our community. And it certainly has led to some very tense conversations between me and my peers and business colleagues. But one thing I'd like to note is, hopefully, like in the past, where we have been able to come together and find resolve to some of these issues that have been, noted due to this incident, will come to fruition and will come to a sound resolve. And that's my hope for Kenosha as well. As far as my view on presidential candidates, I think that, unfortunately, this became way too politicized. And I think we hear that from the Blake family, is that this has become too politicized. It was not about Jacob Blake and the police brutality element of the situation. It became about getting elected. So I'm kind of indifferent on that at the moment.
Interesting. I also want to make note that both of you are white. And that is a huge generational shift, because there's people listening who would go, why do you care so much about Black people, right? There are some older people who hold those views. So it's so refreshing to see that, especially with millennials and Gen Z, that it's not even an issue, right? It's about equality and fairness. And that's how it should be. Sam, buildings are still boarded up in Kenosha, the post office, Dollar Tree, right? Just random places are still boarded up. Are you afraid that there might be civil unrest after the election? Have your friends talked about that?
I have seen lots of photos of the buildings around town, and I actually got to come back to Kenosha about a month ago and kind of just drive around, and like my friends were showing me the damage and all the boards and stuff. And we were talking about it because my friend group is racially and ethnically diverse. And I was talking about it with two of my friends who happen to be Black, and they were talking about their fear of civil unrest if Trump gets elected again. Over the past 4 years, it's been kind of obvious that people who hold racist views have become more comfortable with sharing that, as I believe President Trump has given more of a platform for them to be more comfortable in sharing those views. And we've talked about how another 4 years of Trump could be extremely detrimental to communities like Kenosha, as we're trying to heal from this tragedy, and, you know, we're trying to build like downtown and uptown. And like John mentioned before, there's a huge focus on downtown, but, you know, downtown is more of a wealthier area, but like, what about uptown? You know, that is an area filled with Black residents, and it's just like, if we do have another 4 years of Trump, what will things look like as we continue to deal with racism in America, police brutality, and all of that stuff? So I believe there is a bigger fear in many of the younger generation about what's going to happen, because with everything that's been happening over the last 4 years, especially the last year and a half, with police brutality and racial issues, it's just not looking hopeful. And while we cannot confirm that things will get better if like Biden does win the presidency, but I feel like there's more of a hope, especially with Biden having Kamala Harris, a Black woman, as his vice president if he does win, that maybe we can have more discussions about changing views on Black Lives Matter and like erasing negative stereotypes of that movement.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Very interesting stuff. Well said. John, I'm actually going to move to another question here, but if you want to touch on this, you can in your answer. But we're a little bit more than halfway through. You're listening to Generation Now. We're talking about the 2020 election with members of Gen Z who are first-time voters in this election. They were born after 1997, and so this is the first election in which they will be able to participate. We are here with Sam Reeves, who is a sophomore at North Park University, and John Bush, who is a freshman at Carthage College. So John, we'll move to this, but like I said, you can touch on the previous subject if you want. Talk about the discussions with your parents. Do you learn from them? Is it frustrating? Is it enlightening?
I think there's a mutual level of respect for the difference in thought. I think there's so much value that a young person, a person of this generation, can attain from somebody from an older generation. There's a certain level of wisdom that comes with going through life. And at the same time, there's this certain idealistic nature to young people that older generations learn from as well, and remind them constantly of where we are trying to head towards. And I think there is a mutual level of respect for difference in thought. Now, certainly that isn't everybody's experience, but it is some people's experience. And I think that in order for this America that we live in to continue, we have to encourage that diversity of thought. We have to encourage those complex, comprehensive conversations that are sometimes contentious and uncomfortable, but in the end, be able to walk away and say, you know what? It's okay to disagree.
Interesting. Sam, how about you? How have the conversations been with your parents and if you have any siblings, you know, with your family? What has that been like?
There is definitely a divide in opinions as we do come from different generations and were raised in different eras of like what was okay to talk about, what we need to change and stuff. Obviously, like, my parents grew up in a generation where, you know, racism wasn't discussed as much and people could get away with a lot more. Whereas now, I feel like younger generations have taken it upon themselves to bring more action to eliminating racism and bringing consequences to this situation. Conversations have been tense with family members, but everybody is entitled to their own opinions. So that is something like to keep in mind, where it's like you're going to have these tense conversations and not everybody is going to be on the same page. But it can
and
also
Sam,
be-
I want to interrupt quickly and I want to get back to you. But see, the stereotype is that you don't want to have those tense conversations, that you need safe spaces and need to be cuddled all the
right.
time. And so you're saying that's yeah. not true. That's not yeah, true.
Yeah. I think that definitely is a stereotype that is pushed onto my generation, like our generation a lot. We are often depicted as these, you know, whiny liberal babies, like these snowflakes that need trigger warnings and safe spaces everywhere. But I think if you actually take a look, like our generation has lived through a lot in our lifetime, like a lot of political havoc. You know, we've lived through 9/11, the Middle mm-hmm. Eastern conflict, issues that arose with having the first Black president, the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter movement. So I feel like these stereotypes of us being like these sensitive children that want to be coddled are definitely false, especially if you look on social media. A lot of the time, these conversations about racial inequality and police brutality are being led by younger people, as we have started to take more of a stance, kind of like, hey, you can't keep pushing us down. Like, yes, we are young, but we are able to have opinions and speak about issues that are important like this. And that's something that I've had to like discuss with some older people. Is just like, yes, I am aware I am a young person. However, I am able to, like, I can read, I am able to form my own opinions. It is not that difficult to find proper information online or on the news about situations like this. So continuing to push down this generation and try and silence them is only causing us to have more fire and come back with more heat to try and break these stereotypes and shake the older generations, make them uncomfortable, because we can no longer be comfortable with allowing racism to become so common. We cannot be comfortable with police brutality. We cannot be comfortable with shootings. We need to shake the people of this world and make them realize that comfortability is not what we should be aiming for. If you're
right.
putting your own comfortability over other people's lives, then that is a very messed up ideal.
I would love to add to that if possible.
Oh, yeah, Troy. Yeah, go ahead, John. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So I think that there's this stereotype around our generation that we are unable to have a Socratic debate on an issue. And I think that that may be misguided by our understanding of how technology has been introduced to our population, our generation, that because of such technology, we lose the art of communication in ways that we were familiar with in the past, as other generations had to endure. But I think that Samantha raises this point that we need to not be comfortable. We need to deal with the issues and confront it. And that, I will say, our generation, we are doing, but I think that we need to allow our generation to have that voice, to have that place to speak, as you're allowing us now, and to invite us to the table. I would love to encourage Kenosha to invite young people, young minority people, to the table to have serious discussions on a plethora of issues, from race to healthcare to education in our community. And I think we'd find, if we were able to hold these conversations, we could gain a lot of value from each other.
Mm, that's That's fantastic. So we have a couple more questions here. And again, I don't want to publicly out your vote, but do you believe that the Biden campaign or the Trump campaign are speaking to you and your generation? Sam, I'll start with you.
I definitely feel like the Biden campaign has done a little bit more to reach out to my generation. Like, for example, I mentioned before the Animal Crossing Island and appearing on TikTok, but not only that, they've kind of come to an understanding of, you know, Gen Z humor and how we, like, we're able to joke about certain situations, you know, to take the tensity out of things. I mean, take a look at the first presidential debate, or not the presidential debate, like the vice presidential debate, and there was the fly that landed on Mike Pence's head. And right away, the Biden campaign came out with a fly swatter on their website and pushed the hell out of that onto social media. And I feel like that was a smart marketing move, because I know me and my friends saw that and we were definitely like, oh yeah, that's funny. Like, that makes me like Biden even more. I will admit, I don't follow Trump's campaign as much as I should, just because I am not a fan of the president. But from what I have seen, I just have not seen a lot aimed towards the younger generation. I think Trump is definitely focusing on the older generations, where he is more likely to secure their vote, as like older people tend to have more power in elections. So focusing on them has been a huge goal of his marketing team.
John, what about you? Do you feel that the Trump campaign is reaching out to young voters, the Biden campaign reaching out to young voters? What do you think?
I think the Trump campaign and the Trump administration, through some of their policies, have attempted to do that. Duly noted by me, and I think by a lot of others, was Trump made it very clear what free speech means on a college campus. And that, you know, federal funding would be withheld if you're not allowing true free speech to be on a campus. And certainly his permanent funding for historically black colleges also left a mark on me. As far as the Biden campaign, there are certain elements of being able to talk about subject matters without an irrationality that is appealing. That is very appealing to me as a young person, to encourage having those complex, comprehensive conversations and to be open to hearing a flow of ideas. So I see where both parties have tried to appeal to the young voter. I do see, however, where Samantha was alluding to the Biden's campaign's humor and kind of appeal in a cultural sense to the young American voter.
Interesting. We are coming towards the close here, and we have one final question. Sam, I'll start with you. Are you optimistic about your future and the future of the United States? Do you believe there will be a United States? Just your thoughts on your future and the future of the country.
I try my best to be optimistic about the future of our country. There are definitely moments where I feel extremely lost, not just between like Republicans and Democrats, because it doesn't even just come down to parties, because there are, you know, moderates, libertarians, and all those third party people. It just comes down to morality and, you know, respect for human lives and compassion for others. But there's a huge divide on how people see that at the moment. But I would like to think that, you know, with our generation becoming more politically active, taking to the streets, starting movements, starting hashtags on social media, bringing these conversations up, I'm hopeful that, you know, we can make a difference, we can make change, and, you know, as long as we don't give up, we can create a better future, even if it's not in our lifetime, for our children, for our grandchildren, you know, end this hatred, end this unrest, and be able to provide a safe place, a safe future for our next generations.
We have to be open to the notion that others are going to carry a different viewpoint, a different set of experiences that shape and form their conviction. And we have to be able to walk into the same room and hold a sense of composure and a sense of respect for that difference in perspective. And if we can't do that as a unified people, we will self-destruct.
I want to thank Sam Reeves, who is a sophomore at North Park University in Illinois, and John Bush, who is a freshman at Carthage College, for joining the show today, Generation Now, to talk about their thoughts on America, the issues, and of course, the upcoming presidential election. Until next time, bye everybody.